V-minus 59. Ford Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Are you guys okay? Tara called, rushing out of the spare bedroom at the sound of smashing glass. Although she clearly hadn't been sleeping, her words were largely drowned out by the unsettled barking of Rooster, who had been sleeping at the end of her bed. She looked down at the dog, who was frightened rather than aggressive, and immediately cottoned on. Oh. Dan walked over to Rooster to try to calm him down. It seemed to have been the opening of the spare bedroom door that set the dog off, doubtless because this had removed the physical barrier between him and the recently contacted Dan. Rooster, Dan called, crouching to the ground and holding his right hand outstretched. It's okay, they're gone. See? It's just me. The dog stopped barking, but still didn't look sure. He looked up at Tara, as though trusting her more, and cautiously inched towards Dan, only once she gave the go-ahead. He growled defensively at Dan's fingers, but settled as soon as Dan closed his fist. Within a few more seconds, the dog was curled up on the kitchen floor, safely clear of the broken glass that Emma was now cleaning up. So what happened? Tara asked. Tell me they explained everything about these stupid triangles that are causing so much trouble? Not exactly, Dan replied, tipping his head in suggestion for her to take a seat. He then gave a rapid rundown of his conversation, focusing on the core point that the messengers had explained they were unable to enter a conversation about the triangles without permission from their elders, permission that was currently unobtainable due to a serious problem regarding their interpretation of those elders' typically explicit will. Listening intently, Tara tried to make sense of the logic that Dan himself was still struggling with. But that wasn't all. He continued. You know how they can talk to each other without speaking? Telepathically? They touched something against my neck and my fingers that lets me do that too. And not just with them, but with other people. Think of a name I wouldn't be able to guess. Don't make it obvious, but make sure it's only one name. Wide-eyed at what she was hearing, Tara nodded her assent. Okay, I've got one. Dan pointed at her with his index finger, touching his thumb to the tip of his middle finger at the same time. Easy. Jason Moore. Dumbstruck, Tara looked at Emma. And now you're thinking I could have guessed that, Dan went on, because you're thinking that me and Emma might have talked about how obsessed with his TV show you used to be, and now you're thinking I could have guessed that, too. Stop thinking about that and focus on why his name was in your head. Ah, there we go. Because you're going to meet him in a few days at a club opening you're both invited to.
I only heard about that a few hours ago, Tara stammered. Emma, this is real.
Dan turned to Emma. Clear your mind. Don't think about anything that's a secret you don't want me to know. Focus completely on another name and make sure it's one I couldn't possibly know.
Ready,
she said. Dan touched his middle finger to his thumb again and pointed at Emma with his index finger. Leslie Fowler, he said, breaking the connection as soon as he had the name. Tara laughed.
Leslie? You two never shut up about Jason Moore for that whole summer. Emma reminisced. You made that stupid fan club and everything.
Tara blinked several times as though reality had just set in.
But how can this work? They didn't do anything to change us, so how can we send you our thoughts?
They said they were giving me the ability to interpret their frequency of communication, Dan explained, doing the best he could given that it was far from clear in his own mind. They also said I'd be able to return my thoughts to them, but that they'd only studied my thought patterns and the process was untested on other humans. But I guess maybe I'm innately familiar with human thought patterns in general, in a way they're not. I don't know. I don't even know if they meant to do this. They wanted me to be able to communicate with them. This whole human-to-human part could be a side effect they didn't anticipate.
You said the messengers don't make mistakes, Tara said. Last year, remember?
Dan sat down. Yeah, I did. But that was before contact day. That was before I knew that they're nothing close to omniscient or omnipotent. Going right back to the start, they didn't know how destabilizing it would be when they destroyed DS-1, and then they had to ask Emma for advice on the fourth plaque. Okay, on one hand, that tells us they're smart enough to ask when they need help, and they're not too proud or stubborn to do it, which puts them ahead of a lot of people. But they're not perfect. Even just before they finally showed up on contact day, they thought we could deal with Il Diavolo by ourselves, so their interpretation of human problems isn't perfect either. But more than that, they aren't necessarily better than us. Billy Kendrick touches on this in his lecture tour,
when he says we shouldn't worship the messengers because the evidence we have doesn't point to them being any more moral or altruistic than we are. They're basically us, just with better vehicles and better tech. Much better? Emma interjected, ponderously looking at the table as she considered Dan's words. Yeah, he said. What they have is better than what we have, but what they are isn't necessarily better than what we are. Their breed of rationality is kind of indifferent, in the same way that nature is indifferent. None of the messengers are going to be assholes like Cole or Godfrey, but none of them are going to be saints or martyrs or poets or artists either. Their decision-making and permission-seeking processes are so linear and rational, it even stops them from saying simple things that could save all kinds of problems. I should know about these triangles by now, but I don't. They had the chance to tell me, but all they did was make sure they can contact me again if they ever need to. The main thing is that we keep this under wraps until we have time to really consider the implications, Emma said. Okay? And I'm not saying forever, just until we all agree. Dan took a deep breath. Emma, this is so much power. I know that, Dan, but so do they, and I think they must have had an idea this would happen, even if it was a side effect, and they wouldn't have done that if they didn't think you could handle it. They trusted you with this because they know you. Wait a second, though, Tara chimed in, raising her head slowly in deep thought. Dan, I could be talking nonsense since it's the middle of the night, and this is all so crazy that I'm not totally sure I'm not dreaming, but hear me out. I'm with Emma about them knowing this would happen. Maybe they couldn't help you directly by telling you about the triangles, but they knew that doing this could help you help yourself. Like, they've given you the necessary tools kind of thing? I guess what I'm trying to say is this. To find out what those ELF guys like Ding and Cole know about the triangles, couldn't you just stand in front of one of them and read his mind? Dan and Emma looked at each other, simultaneously wondering how they hadn't thought of this, and silently gauging each other's reactions. I'm just saying, Tara went on. Whether they meant it or not, the messengers gave you this power, so I figure you might as well try to use it for good.